are starting the third lesson, which is in the first chapter of the book, and we will be discussing the creation of woman as the chapter is titled. Now, in our discussion last week, we had gone through the story of the creation of human beings by Allah in the Quran. And let's just go through a review of that to see what are the conclusions that have been made in that the verses in regards to the creation of man and woman, or in other words, human beings. From last week, we will see that in the verses that we had read in regards to the creation of man and woman, there are 11 things, as we had said, in the ayat of the Quran that man and woman are equal in, being human beings, because these ayat refer human beings, and as such, these ayat and these verses, they refer to both man and woman. The first thing that we see that man and woman are equal in is in khilafah, or being the khalifa of Allah, or the representative of Allah on earth. When Allah, He speaks to the angels and says that He has made a khalifa, a representative on the earth, then it refers to human beings and insan, and both man and woman are included in insan. Number two, breathing of God's soul. When Allah made the statue for Adam, Adam represents human beings, and Allah, He breathed into him the soul, his soul or his spirit or his ruh into Adam, and as such into the creation of all human beings, and hence both man and woman are equal in that regard. And three, prostration in obeisance of angels. Allah made the angels prostrate to that creation. Now that creation being human beings, or the maqam of insan, which is the rank or position of human beings. And hence, in that regard also, both men and women are included in that meaning. Being taught the names. Allah, He said, He taught Adam the names. He mentions Adam, but the names and the understanding and the knowledge that has been given to all of mankind, and the potential that every mankind has the ability to understand and the knowledge of Allah is existing in human beings, not in any other creation. And that applies both to man and woman. Number five, being tempted by Shaitan. So, Shaitan, being the enemy of Adam, was not the enemy of only Adam, but also of human beings. Because it was because of this creation of human beings that we see that Shaitan lost his position and he became cursed, and his animosity is towards human beings, and because his animosity is towards human beings, this is the reason why, for example, he came to tempt Adam and Hawa, and his goal was all of the creation and everything that belongs to this entity called insan. Number six, rebellion and disobedience. It was both Adam and Hawa, Adam and Eve, that disobeyed Allah, that rebelled against Allah. So here, when we see that this rebellion took place by both of them and by insan itself, and hence it is attributed to both, but Allah attributes it only to Adam to show that he was responsible for the action as much as Hawa was, meaning that if anyone wants to blame Hawa for the misguidance, then they are mistaken. And this is why Allah, He mentions the name of Adam when it comes to disobedience, to show that no, Adam was at fault as much as Hawa was at fault in disobeying Allah. 7. The covenant and contract that Allah had with insan, with Adam, applies to all of mankind, both men and women. 8. Free will. Both man and woman, being insan, have the free will to obey and disobey Allah and to make their own choices. 9. Receiving of words of repentance. So, when Allah wanted to have mercy on Adam, it wasn't just Adam, but also Hawa. That's why He said that He revealed these words to Adam and his wife. And both of them received these words in order that they may repent. 10. Repentance. Both Adam and Hawa had the realization, as insan, that insan has the ability to repent to Allah. And Adam has the ability to insan and human beings have the ability to seek forgiveness from Allah. That realization is in both man and woman. 11. The material of their creation. Both of them were created from the same substance, the same material. These are things that we went through last week in order to see how we are able to conclude this discussion. There are two issues that are raised that must be answered. One, was woman created from man? That is the first issue that must be answered, which we will answer today. And second, was woman created to be subservient to man? This is the second issue that we will go into detail and answer next week. So first of all, was woman created from man? When we look at the creation of man and woman, we will see that there are certain ayat and certain verses of the Quran and hadith that indicate, that might indicate to some people, and some people might misunderstand, that these mean that women were created from man. This is the first issue, creation of man from woman. When reading some of the verses of the Quran, some mistakenly reach the conclusion that Allah has created the woman from the man, as we have heard even in other religions also, and amongst the Muslims also, we see that this view is held, and that the woman was created from man, and that she was created as a part of man to be his mate and partner. And this obviously leads one, if one holds this belief, this leads one to regard the woman to be deficient, and this idea is there, which makes the woman sound deficient to man, and hence that is the first issue that must be answered, and this is what we are going to do today. So let us go through those verses where Allah speaks about the creation of man and woman, and how Allah He created mates and partners of one another. Let's analyze these verses that speak of the creation of woman. The first verse we come to is Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 1. In this verse, Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidatin وخلق منها زوجها وبص منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. O people, be careful of your duty toward your Lord, who created you from a single being, and created its mate of the same kind, and spread from these two many men and women. So the first ayat of the Quran, which speaks about the creation of women, speaks that He has created us from one being, from a single being. Nafsan wahida. Nafs means the being itself. Wahida means one, from wahid. And he says that he created us from a single being. So that is the first verse. The second verse, will we come to Surah A'raf, ayat number 189. Again, he says the same thing. He says, هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها. He says, he it is who created you from a single being. And of the same kind did he make his mate. So here, he says that he made all of you from a single being. So there was one being, and from that one being, we see that all the others, the mates, were also created from that same being. So that is the second verse, where Allah again mentions that we were created from a single being. Then this is Surah 39, ayat number 6. It says, خَلَقَكُم مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. He says that he has made you, he has created you from a single being. Again, the same thing as in the previous two verses. But then he explains it more in regards to the actual material creation and growth. He says, ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَأَنْزَلَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَزْوَاجٍ يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. He has created you from a single being, then made its mate of the same kind. He made the mate of that being from the same kind. And he has made for you eight of the cattle and pairs. He created you in the wombs of your mothers, a creation after creation in triple darkness. That is Allah your Lord. So here he speaks about the physical actual birth. So this is outside of our discussion. So again, but we just want to see the beginning of the ayat where he says that he created us from a single being. Keep that in mind. So let us just look at these three ayats and see what we can get out of this. These three verses say that Allah created us from oneself, meaning one being, then made its partner, spouse, from the same self, the same being. So all of us, meaning both the partners, male and female, were created from the same being, the same self. That's one, these three verses. Let's look at three other verses where Allah speaks about the creation of woman. Surah Rum, ayat number 21, he says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَكَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مُوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. He says, and one of his signs is that he has created mates for you from yourselves, that you may find rest in them. He put between you love and compassion. Well, surely there are signs in this for people who reflect. So when we look at this ayat, in this verse, what we see is that he's speaking in a plural sense. And he's saying that he has made for you mates from yourself. Meaning all of you, for example, men, he has made for you wives from yourselves. Then obviously the other part of the ayat is more about the union between the man and woman. So that is not our discussion right now. But this verse, and we see another verse of the same type in Surah An-Nahl, ayat number 72, where Allah says, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَنِينَ وَحَفَدَةً حَفَدَةً وَرَزَكَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And Allah has made wives for you from among yourselves, and has given you sons and grandchildren from your wives, and has given you of the good things. So here Allah again says that He has made for you wives from your sons. From your sons He has made wives for you. Let's come to this verse, which is the sixth verse we are discussing, third verse in this line of verses that have the same meaning. Allah says, Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, the originator of the heavens and the earth. Ja'ala lakum min anfusikum azwajan wa min al-an'ami azwajan yadra'ukum fihi laysa kamithlihi shay wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. He made mates for you from among yourselves, and mates of the cattle too, multiplying you thereby. Nothing like the likeness of Him, and He is the hearing, the seeing. So here, when we look at this, we see that the verse again speaks about the same subject. The subject that we have been made, our wives have been made, our mates have been made from ourselves. These are the six verses that define the creation of women in the Quran. Now, we went through the six verses. Now I want to get some things or analyze some things from those verses. Explanation. In the first three verses, it is stated that men have been created from oneself. That mankind has been created from oneself. And from that self, their mates were created. So men were made from that oneself, that nafs, and their mates were also created from that nafs, from that being, that self. In the second three verses, we see, because if you just take those first three verses, here it could mean that, for example, yes, that self was Adam, and hence Allah made the mate of Adam out of Adam, and that's why we all go back to Adam as the origin or the real genesis of our creation. But when we look at the second three verses, we see that Allah makes the subject about the same issue. He makes the subject plural. And in making it plural, He says that He has made for you, meaning all of you, He has made for you wives from amongst yourselves. He has made for you wives from amongst yourselves. So now when we look at these three verses, we see that this is now different than what the first ones are saying. Let's see that. What does Allah want to say here? You see, first of all, the spouse of man, Allah is saying, is his mate and counterpart. Right? Now, when He says that He has been made from Himself, it has three meanings in it. The first meaning is to mean that she is not alien to Him, meaning that she is made from the same substance that man has been made from, and hence she is not alien to Him. Nor is she a part of Him. She's not a part of Him, but she is different from Him, but she's not alien to Him. Nor has she created from His body, meaning that she is not, there's no way in the verses that says that she has been created from His body or from being a part of Him. All it says is that they are created from the same origin, the same root that man was created. This is the actual meaning of these verses. So, the idea that women were created from men, meaning that they were taken out of man, or they were taken from the ribs of man, and all these things have no basis in Islam and in the ayat of the Quran. Otherwise, if this wasn't the case, it would mean that every wife was created from every husband. Because as Allah is saying, that He has made for you wives from yourself. So it means that my wife and everyone's wife was created from their own self, which we see is not the case. The wife was not created from me. Hence, man and woman have not been created from one another. Right? There is no basis to say that we have been created from one another. Right? In fact, what this means is that man and woman are created from the same material, from the same origin, from the same root. That is the actual meaning of these verses. What it means is that both men and women, meaning in their origin, in the original creation, were created from the same material and shaped in the same way, so that man and woman, they are mates for one another, they are not alien to one another, and are conducive to one another. Let's look at the explanation of these verses by Allama Tabari, and see what he has to say in regards to these verses. When we say that that Allah has created for you wives from amongst yourself, what does it mean? And really important here is the word min. The word min in Arabic means from. So just pay attention to that, and inshallah from here I'll just read it for you and explain it. This is what he says in his explanation in Mizan. Says the apparent meaning of the verse, and from it he created its mate, being that God has created a spouse of the same species of the man. What this means is that man has made the spouse of the man from the same species of man. And all the human beings, on all the human beings, belong to two equal and alike individuals, meaning that they all come from Adam and Hawa, and both of Adam and Hawa were made from the same origin and from the same root. The word min in the verse is a genetic preposition, that is, it shows the origin of something. Min is in the meaning of origin in this sentence that is being used here. When you want to say that, for example, this ring is from gold, so you say that the origin of this ring is gold. So here the word min is used as from. When you say the word from, not in the meaning of, okay, I came from here to there. Not in the meaning of distance or direction, but actually the meaning of this is the origin. So when you say, for example, I am from Iran, so what that means is that my origin is Iran. This is the meaning of from here in this word. So when he says that, and from it, and from that one being he has created his mate, meaning from the origin where that comes from, he has created mate for itself. This verse, like other verses, discusses the issue of creation of the woman and man. Like the verses, and of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates. And the verse, and God has given you wives of your own self. So whenever he is speaking like this, he is speaking about the origin of creation, meaning that he has created for you mates from the same origin that you came from. That is the actual meaning. That he made for you mates from the same origin and from the same root where you came from. So they are not alien to you. They are not different from you. So that you can be liking one another and there could be attraction for one another because you came from the same background and from the same origin. On this basis, whatever is stated in regard of these interpretations, like that, the denotation of this verse is to indicate the fact that the woman is derived from Adam and a part of him, according to some narrations, weak narrations, one of which claiming that God has created the wife of Adam from his rib. All of them are baseless claims which have no evidence, and no evidence for them is ever established. The weak hadith are there in order to mention that. But the fact is that the verses, when we look at the verses, the meaning of the verses is to say that the man and woman were created from the same origin. The conclusion of this discussion that we just had. What can be concluded from all this discussion is the fact that the Quran, when making a simile between the man and woman, it concentrates on two things. A, the origin and genesis of the being, meaning what is the origin and genesis of man and woman, both of them being human beings and both of them being from the same origin. B, the oneness of both the species, meaning that they are the same species. They are human beings, and hence they are, Allah has made them in origin also close to one another, so that the natural attraction can be there for one another. Let's look at hadith in order to substantiate what we had just said. In this hadith, when we look at hadith from Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he was questioned once. Some people claim that Eve is created from Adam's rib. What do you say? They asked him. He replied, verily Allah is absolutely pure and free from this claim. Meaning that these people have done injustice to Allah by accusing him of this. Is Allah unable to create a spouse for Adam from other than his rib? Meaning, is that the only place you could have done it from? Is he unable to make it? So that to close the door, leaving no room or excuse to be exploited by some evil-minded to raise any doubt, to say that that Adam has got married to himself? Meaning, because if we say this, it means that Adam, he got married to himself. He was cloned from a part of himself and he got married to himself. So, you know, this would mean the same thing. And these evil-minded people who want to raise these doubts want to say that, you know, oh, we are all a product of, let's say, incest or this sort of perversion. Then obviously the Imam says, may God judge between us and such people. Right? Because obviously these people have done an evil accusation against Allah by saying such a thing. So what it means, again, in another hadith he explains it more when he says that God created Hawa or Eve from the surplus of the clay of Adam. Meaning the clay that Allah used Adam to make, Allah used the same clay in order to make Hawa. And similar to him, and he shaped her himself in order that it be pleasing to Adam and that Adam be pleasing to her. And hence, this is the origin of the creation of woman. So when we speak about the creation of woman, her origin is the same as that of man. She was made from the same clay as that of man, and she was shaped by Allah also, just like a man was shaped by Allah, meaning Adam was shaped by Allah, Allah shaped Hawa also, in order that both of them can be conducive to one another, and both of them belong to the same origin. Hence, when we look at this, this is where we will end our discussion for today. People have any questions? Question I had received that I will answer. I will answer the question, and that question was when we spoke last week regarding the creation of Adam and Eve and the story of Adam and Eve being in heaven, and we heard that Adam disobeyed Allah. The question was that Adam was a prophet. How did he disobey Allah? I mean, how did he do a sin? Obviously, the command of Allah was not a command of obligation that required punishment. Meaning, it wasn't hukm-e taklifi. Hukm-e taklifi, meaning, is a hukm or a command that is given that comes the consequences of punishment behind it. So for example, whenever Allah gives a hukum that is taklifi, then it means that if you don't do that, then there is consequences that we have to pay for that, or there's punishment that is going to come on behalf of that. So for example, Allah says to pray. For example, He gives the order to pray. If we don't pray, then there is the consequences that will occur by us not praying. There's also a hukum that is irshadi. Hukum-e-irshadi is a command that is not meant as an obligation, but it is meant to train people, to make them better, to make them stronger. It is meant to guide people. And hence, when you look at a hukum that Allah might give, you might give an order that, for example, we should do this, we shouldn't do this. This is more, this is not as an obligation that comes to us, but it is a sort of guidance that Allah wants to give us. He wants to guide us in order that we become stronger and better. So now, when Allah, He gave this command to Adam, He gave this command, and this not being hukme taklifi, but hukme irshadi, an order to guide Adam. And the meaning behind that is to say that Allah, when He sent Adam and Eve to that garden in order to stay there, Adam and Eve were unaware of Allah's disobedience. They didn't know what disobedience meant. We didn't know what would happen if you disobey Allah. They didn't even know what it feels like. That's why when Adam did it, he felt an emotion that he never felt before. It was new to him. It was shocking to him. That's why he hated himself for doing that, because he felt so bad. He was so innocent that he did not know how to react to such a thing. He was innocent. Allah wanted to train him on one thing. And He said that, you want to go, you know, He said, do not go to the street. So when that order was given, so obviously how did Shaitan misguide him? When Shaitan came to him and he wanted to tell him, he misguided him through the faith that Adam had in Allah. Adam loved Allah. Adam, you know, had this adoration for Allah. And what Shaitan said is that if you want to be with Allah forever, then you should go and eat that tree and you will be with Allah forever. Adam wanted to be with Allah forever, so he went and ate of that tree because of his love for Allah. Now, with that, when Allah excused him and he asked him to leave that garden, Adam was hurt by it, and Adam was hurt, grieved by it. But then Allah wanted to teach him that, listen, your love is true, your faith is good, your idea is right, and your goal is beautiful that you want to be with me. But in order to be with me, the important lesson I want to teach you here is that you can only be with me by obeying my command and following the path that I give you. Meaning that no shortcuts can be taken to come to me. Shaitan tried to show a shortcut to Adam. He thought that he could take this shortcut and be with Allah. Allah told him, no, there are no shortcuts. Do what I say every day of your life, and then you will see that you will be forever with me. This is the lesson Allah wanted to give Adam and Hawa, and that's the lesson that they got. They repented because they realized that, no, we want to be with Allah, but we have to go through the way Allah has asked us to do. That's why you see that this disobedience was not a disobedience of sin. It was disobedience of ignorance. He was ignorant as to what would happen if he disobeyed Allah. And hence he realized that, and hence he came down and Allah made him the prophet to guide mankind. This is, you can say that it wasn't a sin, it wasn't a disobedience of obligation. Inshallah, we will end the lesson here. And if any one of you have any thing, inshallah, next week we'll again have the same have the lesson again on Tuesday at 6. So inshallah, for all of you, Eid Mubarak, and inshallah, I wish all of you all your amal and your ibadat and your worship to be accepted by Allah, and I ask Him, you know, to show mercy and rahmat and blessings for all of us. So with that, I will end. to class right now, and we will see you, inshallah, next week.